Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of Dr. Pat Allen Want Institute. Before we get started, the call-in number for the show is 323-203-0815. When you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back to be connected to the show. Please make sure you pick up the callback and enter the number in your phone contact list to avoid going to spam. We have a special night tonight. It's Dr. Pat Allen's birthday. We have Dr. Pat and we have Kelly Ward on the show. Kelly, do you want to start the show off?
Sure. Hey, everybody. We've got a little song to sing for Dr. Pat. I hope you're all going to buzz in and make sure you say happy birthday. So we're going to do a quick rendition. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Dr. Pat. Happy birthday to you.
We'll have, if people want to call in and wish you a happy birthday, the call-in number is 323-203-0815.
Good. Are you there, Dr. Pat?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here at 89 years old.
How exciting. How do you feel today?
I feel young.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's so wonderful, Dr. Pat. So tell us.
I'm having a productive day, a beautiful day, cards, flowers, love. Yes.
That's fantastic. That's so wonderful. I was so glad to hear that, Dr. Pat. We've got a lot of people reaching out and saying happy birthday to you on Facebook, and they're sending you their love and their birthday wishes.
Pardon?
I said they're sending you your their love and their birthday wishes.
Yes, I'm being inundated with love. Remember, we all need four things. Something loving and living to cuddle with and pet. Something to do that helps mankind. And something to look forward to.
Well, do you feel like you've got all those things covered, Dr. Pat?
Pardon?
You have all those things covered for yourself now? You have something to love?
Again.
I said you have something to love, something to do, and something to look forward to.
That's right. And you
all
know
right.
What? I'm healthier at 89. If anybody wants to follow me, read my book, Man from Mars. No. My book is...
It's a man's world, but a woman's universe.
Yeah, my brain fell out. Anyway, I want you to know that I'm tracking what I do, and I want everybody to do it because it's working for me.
That's so excellent. And lots of people are, Dr. Pat. Lots and lots of people are getting to I Do over the last couple of years. We had great success with your groups. We have had a lot of women get engaged, get married, and have babies.
Yes, I had two babies. I call them mine because, like, I'm an adoptive aunt or something. Anyway, I just got a picture of a baby that's a week old.
Oh, that's
nice?
So exciting. We've seen lots and lots of engagement rings. It's pretty amazing. Lots of wedding rings and lots of happy brides that have come through our portal and back out again. Doing the work.
Well,
and
they've done it. They've got to I do, and now they're staying married and loving it and all things like that.
What did you just say?
I said they are getting to I do, and they're staying married and loving it now.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Pat, on your birthday, what profound pearl of wisdom can you give us tonight?
I already gave you what people need to live happy lives. And this is the next thing. Please, please become a stoic. Live for love, not for things.
Yes. And Dr. Pat, tonight, can you give us your favorite Upanishad about words?
Oh, God bless you. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, for they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Are you going to be a man who wants to do good to feel good, or are you going to be a woman to feel good to do good? Because your character is going to lead you to your destiny.
Beautiful. What an excellent, excellent thing to have Dr. Pat with us tonight and to be talking about her birthday, her 89 trips around the sun, and all of her successful work. We love her so much, and we hope the rest of her birthday is as great as the beginning. Oh, hello, Dr. Pat. We just wanted to say we're so happy that you're here with us. We're so happy that you're having a great birthday.
I'm having a great birthday, and this is part of it. God bless all of us.
Everyone. Thank you, Dr. Pat. Will you come back again with us next week?
Please do.
All right, my love. Happy birthday.
Thank you. God bless us all.
God bless us all. And many more, Dr. Pat. Many, many more.
Good, good, good.
Bye-bye.
Oh, well, there she goes. Yeah, it's Dr. Allen's birthday. She made another year. And here at the One Institute, we carry on the message with Dr. Allen. We have the ladies groups and we do private sessions. If you want information, the next ladies group starts in October. You can call me at the office at 949-723-0338, or you can send an email to info@drpatallen.com, drpatallen.com. So with that, we also will be taking call-ins. Me and Kelly can take your questions, 323-203-0815. Kelly, do you want to take away? Do you have any questions from your ladies from groups that you want answered?
Oh, my goodness. Probably a billion. But let me think of one specifically. I do want to say, everybody, if you call in and you wish Dr. Pat a happy birthday, she'll be able to listen to it and hear all of the birthday greetings. So we encourage you to do that. And, you know, she's still a go-getter, I'll tell you. So one of the questions that my ladies have is, she says, I am 7.5 months pregnant, but I'm feeling weird toward my husband. I don't know if that's typical, but he seems different towards me. Some of my friends had said that I should expect that and that those behaviors he has may last even after I have the baby. Is this normal? And how should I deal with it?
I think that happens to a lot. Because guys see their wives as in a different way once they're having kids. And they feel like, you know, the baby takes over now. What's your thought on that, Kelly?
I think that there's two mindsets with that for men. One is like, I think that some men are afraid that they're going to hurt you or hurt the baby if they're no, you know, if they become, you know, physically engaged, if you will. And I think the other thing, too, is a lot of times they look at them and it's an emotional or psychological issue with what I would term as the Madonna syndrome. So they see the wife and you know, before she's, you know, maybe got a great figure and she's running around and she's cutesy. But now his baby is in there and she becomes almost like a sacred vessel. So I think that in that way, it's almost like a taboo for them. So to think of their wife in that way. And then I think partially what she's also worried about is what happens after the baby during the postpartum time period. And I think that couples should probably really try to date each other during the time after, making time for each other one-on-one. Babies are a lot of work. They rob you of sleep and sometimes intimacy. So making sure that you can take that time out is a really big deal. And I think you got to show them you're still that girl post-baby that you were pre-baby.
Yes. That's true. I did have a question from somebody, but now I lost it in my emails, unfortunately. I'm sorry about that. I can't even remember what it was. But if you have anybody has a question and you're not available to tell it live, you can always email me and we'll read it on the show and we will answer it. And you can listen to it in your archives. I offer ladies groups, and a lot of my ladies groups, one of the hardest things for them to do is learn the new communication language. Everybody's used to communicating what's familiar their way with bad results, and we teach communication tools and skills, and most of my ladies complain that they don't like to do it. They don't talk that way. How do you get your ladies to switch over from what they're usually talking to, which is generally more masculine, assertive and forward, to becoming more soft feminine communication tools? How do you get your ladies to shift over, Kelly?
I work really hard to try to get them to get into their feminine while they're alone and by themselves first, learning to be able to. And okay, so some of my ladies get irritated with me and I tell them they have to do it anyway or they have to. I make them stand in front of the mirror and I make them speak in the feminine language. I call it a language because it is a language all unto its own. And I say, you know, just like a television actor, a movie actor, you have to get into the part. You have to get into the role. And what do some of the greatest actors in Hollywood do? They recite their lines in front of the mirror to see if they look authentic. So a lot of times what happens is our ladies will be using the feminine language. They find it distasteful, so they tend to have a scowl on their face. So I make them do that in front of the mirror so that they can identify when they are making that face that seems like they took a big bite of a pickle. So that's one of the things I do. One of the other things I do is I make them pick one thing a day that absolutely feeds their soul, no matter what it is. Their cup of coffee in the morning, you know, their prayer time, whatever it is, 5 minutes. Every day you do something that seems completely 100% self-centered and that's not selfish. It's just feeds the soul. So when you go out in the world, you have a little smile on your face. I try to get them to do it in the morning and I try for them to do something that's feminine, but getting them to change their language is difficult. So when they go and they do mess up and they use masculine language, they seem to then find out that it causes a negative response in their partner. And so I think if that happens enough times, then they finally go, oh, I see. Sometimes it's too late. Sometimes they've already severed that thread with the man that was in their life. And that is another way that they go, like, I see where I messed up. So a lot of times if something happens and there's an argument, and then I ask them, well, can I hear what words you used, what you said?
When you tell them what words, and they say their words are the same as our words, but a small word of Dr. Allen's tools can change the whole meaning of the sentence. Do they get mad and think that there's no difference in our words and their words?
They do in the beginning. They tend to be very resistant in the beginning, but it's like I say to them, have you ever gotten a text message where you read it one way, but it was meant a completely different way? You have to listen to the words, mm-hmm. and you have to let them sit there and let them have a life. The words have a life of their own. Words are powerful. I mean, God spoke the universe into existence. So if words have that kind of power, and we see words in the negative too, like somebody casting a spell on you, those are words. But they have proven to be powerful. Positive speech is powerful. It's the power of words. And so I always point that out to them. I said, you know, there's a way. I said, and part of it's sales. You're selling yourself. You should be. You should be out there, and you should be, you know, creatively marketing yourself if you are in the market for a mate. And so I say to them, you know, when you go out to look for a house and you open an ad to look at houses, and the house says, it's all right. It's got a couple of bedrooms and a bathroom. And you're like, oh, okay. But, you know, then there's another way that you hear them say it, and it'll be like, you know, 3-bedroom retreat, beautiful view of the water, you know, amazing laundry room, and the master bathroom is fantastic. You know, I mean, it's how you market it. It's really how you market yourself. And it's also realizing when you step out of your feminine, what is the result of it? What will the result be? Because that's one of the things. What we do is result driven. We're looking for results. And what we're looking for is happy, healthy relationships with people that communicate well. So I also do, you know, when they start getting down on their mate, I will do what I call building Prince Charming. You know, when they're searching for a mate, and this isn't right and that isn't right. And I'm like, okay, you know, where's the compromise line? Because, you know, not everybody looks like Keanu Reeves or Jason Momoa or, you know, Elizabeth Taylor, or, you know, not everybody's beautiful and nobody's perfect. So that's one of the questions I have for my ladies. They get very, you know, especially if their man's done something that they didn't like, then they'll start to tear him to shreds. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, everybody makes mistakes, and it's how you deal with how you communicate about it. And if you use those tools, and those tools are important, you know, I've had people do it to me, Sue. I know you've had people do it to you, where they just walk up and go, we need to talk. And that results in a very negative response.
Well,
with me.
Yeah, here's what I get. Most of my Dr. Allen has the stroke and stand tools, which is very effective. You always stroke them first and then make your stand and then try to work out a win-win negotiation. Everybody forgets the stroke at the beginning and goes right for the neck. And when you go right to the
jugular vein,
the attack, you're never going to get a positive response back, which they always, and so Dr. Allen has a set of tools. And if you want to hear about them, there's a recording on our website, www.drpatallen.com. There's a free access. It's about an hour-long video called Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication. It has Dr. Allen's tools. She has an audience, a class that she's teaching that demonstrates the tools. If you can pick up and do the stroke and stand tools, that's one of the biggest gifts you can do for communication skills. either with your partner and also with your children and also at work. The strokes stand in negotiation, and there's the five-step cleanup as well, and the validation. Those are Dr. Allen's tools that we teach our ladies in the ladies groups, and they do get good results if you use them. However, most of my ladies fight, and then I say, did you use the tools? No. Well, that doesn't help then. So when you want to change yourself, you have to be vigilant on changing and looking within yourself and wanting to change. Kelly and I and Dr. Pat can give you the information, but you have to do the work, because if you don't do the work, it does not become a habit, and it does not become a behavior that you continue to use in your everyday life. So it does take a little bit of time, and it can take up to, you know, I've had people, it takes months to change a behavior. So with that, Kelly and I will be having some ladies groups opening up. Kelly, I believe, are you doing mornings or after? What is your time frame for your ladies groups that you request?
I believe I have some morning and early afternoon times available.
Yeah, and then we also do private. So if you want to work one-on-one, we can work with you on the tools. The one thing is when you start working with either Kelly or I or Dr. Allen, which unfortunately Dr. Allen, she has ladies groups, and these ladies have been in the group for over a year, and they just do not drop out. So the spaces in Dr. Allen's groups are limited to none. So Kelly and I have opened up some groups to offer the ladies, since there's such a long waiting list. But we do teach the tools. And Kelly has some. The new groups are starting in October. So if you want information, you can reach me at 949-723-0338 or info@drpatallen.com. And with that, I know Kelly's had some good results with her ladies groups. What do you prefer when the ladies come in? I get some that are very defiant at first, that they want to tell me how to do it, and they hire us to teach them how to do it. How do you address that?
Well, whenever you're in a situation where you are the teacher and they are the students, you are the masculine energy and they are naturally the feminine energy, but they're going to rise up and they're going to see if they can take that dominant spot.
You got it on the nail.
Yeah, they're going to see if they can be the wolf pack. Well, I don't know if you've ever seen a mama with her pups. They misbehave, she'll put their whole head in their mouth. And so from time to time, I've had cross swords with some of the ladies, some of them cannot handle that. They want to be the alpha. They want to be the dominant in the situation, and they can't. And one thing I want to point out too is privates are great. However, one of the things about group is you get to vibe off of some of what's going on with the other women. And I find that when one of my ladies starts talking about something, it'll trigger in the others things that they hadn't thought about, and it'll also give them techniques that they hadn't realized were there. One of the really important things I want to point out is this isn't just for romantic relationships. A lot of our women go in thinking that, and I'm like, do you have a sister? Do you have a brother? Are your parents still alive? These are all tools that you use with people that you love and care about and want to communicate with on a better and deeper level. It really does change the way you communicate when you really use the tools, because, you know, to use the tools, you must think also about what you're saying. You don't just right off the bat hit, boom, I've got it perfect down pat. You use them over and over and over again. And when you do, the results can be amazing. However, when you don't, the results can be devastating. And then I get a lot of my ladies come back and they go, I didn't use your tools. I didn't use them. And now I'm in a terrible fight, or now he left, or my mother's not speaking to me. And these all have devastating effects. They really do. Yes. And then a lot of times it takes something that drastic for them to come back and go, you know, I know I was in your group before, and I didn't really use the tools. I'm back now because I really messed up. And that's heartbreaking in a certain sense, but it's also rewarding in another sense. They come back and they have a totally different outlook and viewpoint on how things were. Do you get that with your ladies too?
I have some that are very defiant, and I've had one that I pretty much had to terminate. I had to fire her and boot her out because, you know, she wanted to take Dr. Allen's tools. And I teach what Dr. Allen teaches. I do not teach what I think is right. I follow Dr. Allen's guidelines. And when they don't like what we tell them, they try to tweak it to accommodate what they want. But we can't tweak Dr. Allen's stuff, or it isn't her program, and it will not get the good results. But anyway, she called me back after about 5 months and got into a relationship, because usually they do find out that they're the common denominator on why they're single and what's going on. They got a taste of our stuff. They didn't like it. They fought it. But when they left, either by their own free will or having to be escorted off out of the platform, they do come back and want to learn the stuff. And then they're more open and receptive and receive the information better, is what I find. If you don't want to, if you fight this information, you will not get it. We cannot force it. You have to want to do it. And you have to, as doctor, I want to do it. I will do it. And I will continue to do the tools.
Yeah, I totally agree with that 100%. One of the other things that I find a lot recently are women are getting really, I don't want to say tired. I want to say
they're getting, I get a lot of them.
And discouraged with like online dating.
Are you finding that? We did it the old fashioned way and we got men, but everybody seems to think that the only way to date is through swiping. There's tons of different ways. Go to places where men are. Bowling alleys, golf courses, baseball games, sports bars. I don't want to sit there and by myself or in front of them. They want to meet. Everything's social, you know, a social platform where you don't have to meet in person. They want to meet like everybody's on their phone.
I think it's a degradation to humanity at this point in time.
I know it is. It's like I can't go meet people out in public on my own.
Yeah, so when I do one of my groups that's focused on, they're all single and they're all looking. I call those my hunter gatherers.
Yes,
and they're dejected about online dating. A lot of the people are not truthful. They're disingenuous. And, you know, like everybody is on their best behavior when they first meet you and in the first 3 months of a relationship.
Yes.
But, you know, they've painted a picture of themselves, much like when, you know, I used to tease my friend and then she'd say, oh, this is a cozy house. And I'd say, that means small. You know?
Yeah.
You know, so it's the wording. And when people are going to, you know, it's like you don't write a resume and go, well, sometimes I get bored and lazy at work. You know, you don't put that in your resume. I mean, let's bring this to light. But what I do find is that people want to look at those profiles and they're going to judge somebody off of their profile. Well, of course they are. The profile is the first impression, but oftentimes the profile is lies peppered with some truth. And I hate to be negative about it, but once they go through that whole online dating, and I find that the 1 year mark is when they really are crazy. They're like, I can't do this anymore. And I go, oh, good. I'm so glad you're saying that. Okay. And they go, what? And I'm like, yeah. So like, let's get back into life. Let's get back into being a human being. And human beings aren't dating robots. And what we're looking at here are robots. You know, like what is ChatGPT creating their profiles? Probably. So, you know, anybody can look great in a, you know, one of those glamour shot pictures that a cameraman took. But here's the question. You know, have you ever looked in an ad to go, like, look at a car and you get there and the driver's side is beautiful and the passenger side's wrecked? And that's what we're looking at here with a lot of this online dating. They go to see the car, and when they get to the other side, like, that whole other side is wrecked. There are two flat tires. It's just not how it's effective for some people. I won't say it's not effective for some people.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, when you go out in the world and you re-engage with the world, you're not walking through looking at that phone the whole time you're in the Trader Joe's or in the Whole Foods or, you know, anywhere you go. It changes your perspective, and perspective is everything. So I have a rule with my girls to go out, and what I say is practice. And, you know, I send them, they can take a prop, but the prop cannot be the phone. It can be a book with an intriguing title or a magazine or whatever the case may be. No phone. Never take the phone out. The phone stays put away. And if you can't keep it put in your handbag or whatever, leave it in the car. Because if you're staring down at that phone, no one's approaching you.
Yeah, you're not inviting people into your space to introduce or talk to you. And that seems to be the problem with a lot of the ladies. They repel men approaching them.
Well, and I also think that it's interesting how poor people's posture is when they're sitting there hunched over.
Yes. That's true, too.
And so they, you walk by and they look like an old crone with a humpback, staring with their shoulders cupped and their arms, you know, holding that phone and their head down. And nobody wants to go up and walk up and approach that. Nobody goes into the nursery and picks out the plant that's wilted and dying in the corner. Looking for the plant with the flowers on it or the tomatoes on it. It's standing upright and beautiful. You know, how we present ourselves is a really big deal. So if you're sitting there and you're smiling and you're just looking out, even if you're just smiling at the sunny day or, you know, whatever it is, people perceive that. And, you know, it reminds me of, I don't know if you've ever done this before, but you see somebody and they're just walking down the street. They're swinging their arms. They've got a big smile on their face. And you think to yourself, what do they know? Yeah. I want that. I want that. So that's one of the things I say to my ladies. When you go and present yourself, how are you, do you have an old like ratty sweater on and, you know, your hair's like in a ponytail and you just don't feel good about yourself. So you're just like the curmudgeon. Uh-huh. Or do you put on your favorite dress and, you know, a pair of strappy sandals and you curl your hair and you put on your makeup and you go out there and, like, you know, you turn yourself into that flower that's over there in the corner of the nursery that everybody wants that one, you know, or that bouquet. It's important to remember that, you know, people are attracted to beautiful things. And I'm not saying in the classical sense of beauty that you might look at a Rembrandt painting, but the beautiful thing of a person who enjoys life and who enjoys who they are and wants to engage with the world, that's an attractive person.
Mm-hmm.
They may not look, like I said, like Elizabeth Taylor or, you know, whoever, but they look like they're open, ready, that they have a level of happiness and they're comfortable with who they are. That's important. Mm-hmm. And when you get these people that, like I said, they're just, and the other thing my ladies do, I don't know if your ladies do this, they want to go out in these big, great big groups of women. And I'm like, men never approach a pack of wolves.
Yeah,
who
that's
approaches
true.
A pack of wolves?
Yeah.
You know, you're the one guy and like there's six women at a table. You're not walking up to that table.
Yeah,
there's too much risk there, too much chance that you'll be ridiculed, laughed at, yeah. You know.
Yeah, insulted. But yeah, it you know, men do have feelings as well, and it takes a lot of courage to go up to women and possibly be rejected. And they get rejected pretty cruel nowadays. I've seen it.
They really
do. It's not a nice rejection. It's actually kind of name, it's some cuss words and
Well, I'll tell you what, and culture carries a huge role in this, because I'll tell you honestly,
what?
Originally from Los Angeles, where, you know, you're vying for mirror time with your mate, and, you know, they're prettier than you are, they have better hair, whatever, and they're like, they don't even think to open the door for you. I'm like, okay, that was a major turnoff, but it was just what something I lived with, because I lived in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I went to Texas, and I was there on business, but I went to Texas, and I was working with a country music singer at the time, and I was doing a video of him. We were editing out an unplugged concert. So I went to Texas. I met him at one of the places he was playing, which was like, you know, what was the name of that bar? You might know, like Gilly's or Mickey Gilly's, or anyway, like they had the whole thing with the bull in the middle of the place. And it was pretty fun. A lot of dance floors, a lot of people dancing. And the men there were different. They opened the door for me and they took my coat for me and they were very respectful. They would come up and they would say, would you like to dance? And I was like, yes. I danced. I must have danced with 50 men in one night. It was just dancing. It was a great time. And they were interesting. And they were kind. And they were respectful. And I was like, whoa, big difference. So that matters. Where you're hunting matters. Because if you're hunting, you know, at a beauty pageant, you're probably not going to be getting great results. However, like you said, we got to go where the men are. And just so happened that night, there were a lot of cowboys there. And they have a different culture and a different mindset. They just do.
They do. And so do, you know, different countries as well. You know, Dr., we see a lot of different cultures with different beliefs and stuff as far as dating. Ours, I don't know, California is a little bit more on the every man for himself and every woman for himself. And then they wonder why the divorce rate is so high here and there's so many single parents, is because there's so many women that are men and men that are women.
I agree with you that. I think New York is the same.
And when you know, the masculine feminine energy is taught by every therapist and coach nowadays, the yin and yang. And it's not about the body. It's not about, well, he's feminine because he dresses like a girl or he dresses all fancy. It's about the energy. We both have masculine, feminine. It's how much you show, how much you, you know, you might be a little bit more masculine than feminine. It's the energy that you dominate more of. And nowadays, there's so many women that dominate more masculine because they have to be in control and self-sufficient and in charge. But that's influencing their love life, because when they go into a relationship, it diffuses the energy. He's masculine, she's masculine, and then they butt heads with competition. In order to have a healthy relationship, Dr. Allen's way, her proven way, you have one feminine energy. And that can be a masculine lady, but she chooses to be feminine while she's with her partner, and one masculine man. And this lady, even though she knows she can do it better and she's smarter, she chooses to be feminine to complement her man in order to make the relationship work. But a lot of women, I don't want, you know, they've got this high horse that they want to be just as equal as men, which is fine at work, but not when you want to be in a loving relationship. And that's what we teach the women now with Dr.
Well,
Allen.
We get a lot of alpha women, and overcoming that for them is really difficult sometimes to step out of the role of the alpha. So, you know, I try to make it a ritual with them. I try to tell them, okay, you know, you got to listen to some music that, you know, turns you into a girl while you're driving home. Or stop and get yourself a latte or a coffee before you get there. You got to throw that off. You got to take the briefcase, and you've got to lock it in the trunk. You've got to get out of that mode before you get to where your mate is, or you're going to have to mate. You're going to have to mate with a beta.
Yeah.
That's you know what happens with an alpha and a beta that mate. What happens, and we know it because we know about the 3 year, 3.5 year cycle.
Uh-huh.
They used to call it the 7 year itch. It's not that long anymore. People don't have that long of attention span anymore. That's why you see them shuffling through YouTube and TikTok like nobody's business. They got 3 minutes. That's about all you're going to get of their attention. And it's interesting because I watch a cooking show, and the lady on the cooking show said, well, you know, I knew I didn't capture your attention today because you all surfed away within 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting because that's what happens. And it's the same thing with what we were talking about, the online dating thing.
There's always swiping. Something better. They always think there's something better.
Yeah, but they're swiping left and swiping right in the blink of an eye. How can you assess somebody? They're going on looks, and we know who picks with their eyes.
Yes. Most of my women pick with their eyes, too, which I say, you don't know the man, what he can offer you, but they still want to pick with their, I'm not attracted to him. Yeah. So they don't even give the guy a chance. So it eventually, sometimes the women do come around and they look within the man to see. Feminine women pick with their ears, what he can offer us. And that might sound like a nice house, stability, because that's what the feminine's looking for, security and stability. You know, nice lifestyle. She won't have to work. She raise the kids. They'll go on vacation. She falls in love with what she hears safety wise and how the man treats her. She hears how he takes care of her and talks to her and cherishes her. One thing I get a lot of women complain about, well, you know, Dr. Allen's thing is about men cherish women. That ideally is the protocol, but some men's form of cherishing does not work with what the women expect. Well, he doesn't cherish me. He has to cherish me. He might be cherishing you his way, but you want it your way. It doesn't mean that, you know, you have to, he still has a right to cherish you his way. So I get a lot of women that go, well, he's not cherishing me. And Dr. Allen says that he has to cherish me. What that seems to be the biggest problem is that these women use the word cherishing, that they get their whole list of what they see as cherishing get their way. Do you see that a lot?
Oh, yeah. Men don't cherish women the way that women have written the script for them to cherish them.
And so then they're mad and want to reteach the men to cherish them when their idea of cherishing is such a list of things. It's like, it's mind boggling.
It's true. It's true. And here's the other thing too. You are wanting somebody to cherish you that way. Then what you're wanting is you're wanting I don't even know what you're wanting, but you're wanting what you are is you're a narcissist, because here's the thing. You can't tell how other people to behave. You can accept their behavior or reject it. You cannot tolerate it, because if you are, you'll be miserable, and then that's going to come out, and then that's going to end. So, you know, if you found somebody, I'm always amazed by the people that find somebody and then all of a sudden it's a campaign to change everything about them. Why did you pick them in the first place?
Yeah. Well, like in cherishing, like the lady will go, well, you know, I like to go on vacations, and he said we go on vacations. So I say, if he wants to cherish me, he would take me on all these trips, because that's cherishing what I want. And that's not cherishing in a way. That's you wanting, kind of have an idea of what you think cherishing is. Cherishing is, he accepts you when you're irrational, irritating, and sometimes, what does Dr. Allen use? You know, when the lady's screaming and yelling and irritating the man. He'll still say, honey, I still love you, even though she's irrational, irritating, and I forget the other word. That's cherishing.
It is. And, you know, we say, is he 51% valuable on his worst day?
Yes.
But they never, ever consider sometimes, and I tell them, you have to. Yes. Are you 51% valuable on your worst day?
Yes.
Because it's a two-way street.
Yes.
Yes. There's the masculine and the feminine. And yes, you know what? relationships are rarely a 50-50 event. Sometimes it's 60-40, sometimes it's 70-30, sometimes it can be 90-10. But, you know, both parties have to take responsibility for the communication. If you're using the tools, he will eventually fall into understanding your use of the tools.
Yes, he will. Say, yeah.
He doesn't get it. I say this to him and he doesn't get it. And I'm like, well, how many times have you used the tool? Well, I used it this one time. And I'm like, wow. Okay, that's not going to work. See, anytime we create a habit, positive or negative, it takes 21 days.
Yes. And that takes, if you change your behavior, he's got to get on board and kind of redo his program to how he's going to react to what you're starting again, because you're changing your behavior, which will in turn change his behavior. He can't pick it up overnight.
Yeah. To every action, there is a reaction.
Yes.
And so that's another thing too. I tell my women, okay, so we did something you don't like. Don't be reactionary.
Yes.
Stop. Put yourself in timeout.
Yes.
Go to the restroom. Run your wrists under cold water. Take 17 deep breaths.
Yes.
Then walk out and use a tool.
Yes.
Use a tool.
Because
and
it takes
like that with everything. I learned to do that with my children. Instead of turning around and rising up like a monster, I would say, I'm going to go start dinner. We'll continue this shortly.
Yes.
Because I do.
Yeah, I have one lady, we don't use names, but she's in a relationship where her gentleman, sometimes because of maybe his upbringing, he doesn't feel worthy of her. So he's always trying to push her away by doing things that are not on the nicest way, but he knows that she's going to leave. So he's trying to push her away now rather than later. And we tell her, just watch, don't react. Just say, ouch, that hurts if he calls her, says something nasty. Well, they went away for the weekend and he was pushing and we told her just stay ouch and do not react. She had to fight, just could not hold it back, had to be right. And then had to go talk to girlfriends because she has to talk to her friends even while she's with him, which I told her it's disrespectful on his weekend with her. She thought, well, I have to talk to my girlfriends. I can't go 3 days without talking to other people. That is not a feminine person. Oh, we have a call here. Caller, you're on the air with Kelly and Sue. Do you have a question? Hello? Oh, I guess they left. We're almost running out of time, too. But
no, you're right, Sue. That isn't. You have to understand and dedicate time to your mate. And if he takes you on a trip or a vacation, you should never have that phone out unless he asks you to get directions or he asks you, can you find us a restaurant or something like that? Sure, let me grab my phone. But
well,
if you're on a trip with somebody, anybody, even your girlfriend or your sister or your brother or whatever, and you're just on that phone the whole time, it's what we were talking about before. You're sitting there with your head down, your face in the phone. You're not being a human being any longer.
Well, with the tools, you can, with Dr. Allen, she would say, you know, if you want to take the call, you ask your respectable man, honey, so-and-so wants to talk. You know, can I go take this call for 5 minutes? You have to ask. It's called, I don't have to ask anybody for permission. But yes, you have to communicate and negotiate with your partner all the time in order for it to be healthy. And that a lot of women want to be independent. Independent women do not get into relationships. That's called being single. When you're in a relationship, you give up your independence. But they want to be in a relationship and still live a single life.
Right. But we know what. We know that you cannot eat your cake and have it too.
It's a very hard pill for a lot of ladies to swallow that are older, that have been able to do it their way. But it, you know, they probably were in good relationships, but disrespected the man. And respecting a man is, he's the president. You're the vice president. You follow his chosen leadership, unless it's illegal, immoral, unethical, or hurt your body. mostly, well, I don't like what we're doing, so I want to do something else. So I wanted to go over here with my friends. So I went over with my friends. And if he wants to come, he can come with us. That's the attitude.
Yeah, it is.
It's crazy.
And it's really become detrimental to the American family. And it's unfortunate because, you know, I do get a couple of ladies I've had that say, well, I make more money than him and I can do it better, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, then why are you trying to find an alpha male? Why are you trying to find a masculine male?
Yes, if you can do it, yes. We already know with Dr. Allen's principle, we women can do it better and we're smarter. But we choose to follow our chosen respectable man. And we have to go feminine in order to be in a healthy relationship. If you want, you know, if you want to be the leader, you can, that's fine. You can go find a nice, you know, alpha, a nice beta man, and he can raise the kids and you can go make the money, but the women don't want that either.
Yeah. It's, that's one of the other things. And one of the principal things I do when we first start a group is let's analyze what energy you want to be. Let's really figure it out. Let's nail it down. Let's hammer it out and figure out what we've got going on here.
And that means you can't say you want to be feminine and then speak and act masculine.
100%. 100%.
That's what they do. Well, it's, I am feminine. I'm dressed nice and I look good. That's not all to feminine.
That's not all to it at all. That's just a very shallow first layer.
The superficial look out, outer exterior. You have to process the feelings. But anyway, we're running out of time. I wish that that other caller had gotten through. But next week, we hope to get some callers. The call-in number is 323-203-0815. You can always call the radio show, ask us any questions about relationships, your parenting, coworkers. What else can we help them with, Kelly?
Family, sisters, brothers.
Sisters, brothers.
Winnie, really any relationship that you have that you want to be able to have a loving, communicating relationship with, we can help you.
Yes, we can. So with that, we wanted to wish Dr. Allen a happy birthday. She's 89 years old and still spreading the word. And we hope to see you folks next week. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, we do. We love you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.